I said earlier, it is good to have you here today. It's good to be in church the Sunday before Christmas, even though I heard Jeff Creighton on the weather last night talk about Thanksgiving Day. Anybody see that? No. We've been sticking pink post-it notes in your bulletin. And what we're asking you to do is to jot down something you like about your church. It's not limited to just one. You can put a whole bunch of somethings down. But, you know, we'd like to get, you know, good participation, you know, from everyone. And we're going to be sharing a little bit of, well, sharing those as we go through a series in February entitled, I Love My Church. I promise next week I will have the message series out for you. I was going to have it this week, but I just ran out of time. So I was too busy tying my bow tie. Not really. God doesn't only ask us to listen to Him. He wants a conversation. He wants us to talk to Him. And when He asks the question and He wants us to talk to Him, that requires a response. Sometimes that's not so easy. But it's something to think about. Zechariah and Mary respond to God differently in the Scripture as they wait for the promised birth of the child that God had promised them. In the end, both of them do respond to God, and they do respond in a gracious and loving way. So as we share this morning, think about, how do I respond to God? And we talked in class this morning, and one of the questions was, when's the last time God ever spoke to you? And He speaks to us in so many different ways. A lot of times, He'll impress upon us, or there'll be something that, you know, that we don't do because He doesn't want us to do it. Sometimes we just have to take action and do something, trusting Him and believing that if this isn't what we're supposed to do, He's going to put an end to it. He's going to stop it. He's going to say, slow down. And so that's one of the things that we need to keep in mind. Most of us have a desire to follow God. Most of us have a desire to follow God's lead. Whether it be, through a relationship with Jesus Christ. But the majority of us are not going to go out and break God's law. Hopefully. But we're often overcome by doubt. So what do? We choose to ignore because we're not exactly sure if that's really what God said. So we're really not certain if that's what He said. So as we look at this today, you have some notes in your bulletin to follow along with. And I would I'd encourage you to do that. The wait's almost over. It's almost Christmas time. We've all had to wait for things. The last 4 weeks we've talked about celebrating the season and things that go on during the Advent season. I've been waiting for the sun to shine. I've been waiting to wear my bow tie. Although, Cindy doesn't like my bow tie. Well, thank you. I was going to ask for a vote, but I'm not going to do it. But I have kept feeling my tie down here today that doesn't exist. And I'm thinking, you need to lose some weight. So as we prepare for Christmas and we found ourselves in that waiting room of anticipation, we've explored how to make better use of our time, how to wait and how to prepare in that time, how to use our time to make a difference in the lives of people we encounter. So I'd ask today, how many people have a cell phone? You know, we all do. In fact, we took our home phone out, and that's our phone now. So we don't get calls. And the thing I like about a cell phone is I can see who's calling me. I can tell if it's that telemarketer from Boca Raton, Florida, that I have told him on 3 occasions that I am on the do not call list. So do not call. It does not work. But we have that, so we stop and think, how many times have we refused to pick up a call and just let it go to voicemail? I'll do it. I'm guilty of it. Why lie about it? You know, I do it, and I'm sure that everybody else does it. Whether it be telemarketers, friends that we're not really wanting to talk to, whether it be our employers, or it could be that person you didn't want to buy that Christmas gift for, but you bought that Christmas gift for. And it could be that person. We just never know. But sometimes we'd just rather not face the music. And I'm there. I'm with you. I'm not going to tell you, you know, that I'm that away. You may be nicer than I am, and you answer every phone call you get. And if you do, congratulations. But that's not, that's not the way the majority of us do and the way the majority of us do things. What we do is we put people on, sometimes a hole. We let them wait for us. And so if you ever had a call from God that you've let it go to voicemail, I see Lori shaking her head, and I can shake my head, yes. We have. It happens. It occurs. Things happen. We're talking this morning about when's the last time God spoke to you, and how does he speak to you? You know, and the thing that I heard growing up all my life was there is that still, small voice. Some people call it conscience. Some people call it intuition. Some people just call it a still, small voice, but God does speak to us. Charles Swindell says, God speaks to us through the Bible. We were talking about that this morning when Elijah was on his 40-day trek from God, for lack of a better term, God spoke to him at the end of that 40 days in a whisper. And, we're talking, have I ever heard God speak to me audibly and say, Larry, go do this? Not that I'm consciously aware of it. But I know every day there's something I should be doing or somewhere I should be going, so I know he does talk to us. So as we consider Zechariah and we consider Mary, and they're waiting for God's glory to be shown to them, neither one of them had any clue what was going to happen before the angel spoke to them. But both had to wait, and both had to trust God for what that messenger said. It says in Luke, then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Both of them waited, one with doubt, one with belief. And as we look at, how we wait during this Advent season, how will we wait? With doubt or with belief? To the Christian, it has to be belief. And if there's doubt in your mind, cast it away. Take authority over it in the name of Jesus. And get rid of it. And live in belief. Biblical stories are found throughout the Bible where people were called by God. They didn't necessarily know what God had in store for them. They couldn't necessarily see it, but they had to wait. There's numerous stories throughout the Bible about that. However, today we're going to contrast those two people. And we've talked about Zechariah and we've talked about Mary for the last 4 weeks. They were both waiting. In a way, they were waiting for the Messiah. Because John, you remember, said, I am not worthy of unloosing the sandal strap of Jesus. He said, I'm not him. There's one greater than me coming. And Mary, I mean, when, you know, you stop and really, you know, think about that, you know, wow. Each one of them had a, you know, had a message from God. And I wonder if I step back and think, how would I have responded to either one of those? When God speaks to us, He gives us a choice. Zechariah had a choice. Mary had a choice. Neither saw physically what was going to happen, but they were agreeing to one thing, that God was going to do something in their lives, and He was offering something to them. They had the choice to accept it or not accept it. And it was going to come about no matter what. Both had to wait and see what the gifts were that God had for them. So if we look at these two people, here's something that, you know, I read this week and I thought it was interesting. Zechariah was a priest. We all know that because he would go into the temple. But he lived in a little hillside in Judea. And except for 2 weeks a year when he was at the temple, that's where he lived. And so it happened to be his shift, that he was his temple shift that he was on. And it was by lot that his name was drawn to go in and offer the evening incense that night. Now, was it by lot or was it by God's lot that Zechariah went in that night? But he goes in that night, and what's the first thing he sees? Angel of the Lord standing before him. And it said, one of the things it said, quieting Zechariah's fears, the angel told him that his prayers had been answered and his childless wife would have a son to be named John. And Zechariah's response was, how can I be sure of this? Elizabeth is old and I'm old. So what was he looking for? He was looking at it in the natural eye, not allowing God to be God, not allowing God to do what he wanted to do in Zechariah's life and in Mary's life. How can I be sure? Well, what's God said to you? I think it is so interesting that God is not stuck in what's usual, but He's a God of the unusual or what's natural. He's a God of the unnatural. And oftentimes we don't think about that. I mean, how much more unnatural could it be for an 80-year-old woman by the name of Elizabeth to bear a son? Now, I just saw, and if you see it on the internet, you believe it, 64-year-old Stevie Wonder is going to be a father again. Not for him. But, you know, so that, you know, I mean, is that, you wonder about, you know, when you see this kind of stuff, is this natural? So we see these two people, and we've got a Zechariah here whose whole thought line, the whole thought process was based on doubt. He had no idea what was, you know, what was going on, and he was hesitant to believe what God had in store for him. But I said, God is a God of the unusual. What Zechariah should have seen as unusual in the angel's appearance should not have been so unusual with the announcement of John's birth. If I'm going to see an angel appear before me, I'm going to believe what they tell me. I mean, there's just no way around it, is there? You're going to do that. The more quickly that we realize that and see God who He is, the more quickly our lives will be transformed. Now, we live in a, you know, in a world of chaos and stuff that goes on, but we don't have to be a part of that chaos. The angel Gabriel appears to Mary, in contrast, and tells her she will conceive and bear a child. Now, Mary listens, and she has some questions. Mary was startled and upset at the angel's appearance. She was upset when the angel greeted her, I'm sure. But reassuring Mary of God's love, the angel told her she would have a son. The child would be the son of the Most High, would be out of the line of David, and he would be king over Israel. He also told her that that would be fulfilling the promise of the Old Testament. One person, God, in deity, becoming man in humanity, and bringing for us life everlasting. What he did is he perfectly fulfilled the promise of Isaiah. Like, Zechariah, Zechariah says, how can I be sure that this is going to happen? Mary blurted out, how will this be since I'm a virgin? How can this happen? Which her response echoed another Old Testament prophecy that said, a virgin shall bear a child, and you will call his name Emmanuel, Isaiah 7:14. No human father, the power of the Holy Spirit was to supernaturally come to Mary and provide that needed reproductive system that would give to us a pure Savior through a pure and clean virgin. To that, Mary had but one response. I belong to the Lord, body and soul. Let it happen. What? As you say. That's what it was all about. What beautiful faith when you look at that. Zechariah, he was a godly and mature man, no doubt about it. He was a priest. But he doubted the possibility. But a young girl, still in her teens, never hesitated or doubted. A supernatural birth to someone who was at that time single. There's a blessing for all of us that there you go. I could blame Greg for that because he can also move those, but I just can't do it because it wouldn't be right. There's a blessing for those of us who learn and believe in spite of doubt. And there's no doubt that we'll have some doubt. There's no doubt that we'll have some concern. But ultimately, what we have to do to God's will is give a full-hearted response to that. Mary ultimately did. She let go of her own wishes for her life and yielded to God. She says, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. She responds with praise. She responds with thanksgiving. Mary's faith response is even more striking when we look at the fact that she was a teenager, pregnant, unwed, which, as we said last week, is a good candidate for stoning. And yet she said, Lord, whatever your will, it's your will, it's not mine. So instead of worry, joy filled Mary's heart. And that's really what it's all about. When Mary's vision of God was this, she saw he's done great things. I'd encourage you to read this today. It's Luke 1:46 through 55. Read it this afternoon if you get a chance. But he has done great things. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him. He has performed mighty deeds. He has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry. Mary knew God was a God of power, a God of concern, a God who cares for the humble, a God who cares for the hungry. She knew that that's who God was. And she had a clear vision of who God was. But think about this. Zechariah's first response was based on his view of himself. How can I be sure? I'm an old man. Mary's response was what? Based on a view of God. So our view of God and our view of ourselves sometimes get in the way of what we believe. So when we stop and think about what's our view of ourselves, too often we think, I'm too old. I'm too young. And we don't have the education. Or we do not have, and I'll leave it blank. But God will equip you with whatever God wants you to do. So what will be our response to God's call? Doubt or belief? God's call is waiting for us. What is God calling us to do? And it's not you, but it's us. What's He calling us to do? We're going to talk about that next week. And where does He want to take us in 2015? I got a pretty good idea, but I would encourage you, pray about that this week. Because God's only going to take us where we believe He can take us. I know that. And I'm entering the planning for 2015 without doubt, but with belief. Because that's what He wants. So how will we respond during the wait? My challenge, and it's written in the bottom of your bulletin notes, what are you hearing from God? Are you doubting? Are we believing? I should say, are we doubting or are we believing? Because I see huge things happening. And I'm not sure we're ready for them. But we will be when it's time. But we got to wait on Him to show us and not get ahead of Him. So the question is, how will I respond? Let's vow to respond in belief.